rule and have dominion in the earth, to be the people of God that God has created us to be, begins with a mindset. Everything begins with a mindset. And so it's how we perceive determine how we conceive. Our precepts determine our concepts about life and life issues. And so when we begin to understand what God's original intent is, it determines our outcome by how we perceive what God said. How we perceive what God said. So when we study the poverty mindset, the middle class mindset, and we study the wealthy mindset, it takes us back to the beginning when we talk about precepts and concepts. When God told Adam and Eve at the very beginning that the day that you eat this fruit of this tree, you're surely going to die. But when Satan came around, he told her a different perspective, that God knows the day that you eat it, you're not going to surely die, but you're going to be like God. So what he did was he twisted her concept about what God told her. So she no longer remembered the precept, the original intent, the original word God said told her. She only viewed what he told her, what Satan told her about what God said. So she got a different imagination or a different picture in her mind about what God was telling her. And that what eluded her or caused her to eat the forbidden fruit off the tree. And because she misinterpreted the precept, the original intent of what God said. So when we think about mindsets, we have to focus in on what is God's original plan. What is God's original thoughts concerning me? And that is where you have to focus your energy, your mental thoughts toward God's original focus. And regardless of what goes on in the world, regardless of what goes on around you, regardless of what CNN say, and regardless of what Wall Street say, regardless of what your environment is telling you around you, you got to become focused in on what God said. What God said. There are many voices from within and from without. You have to be able to distinguish the voice of God. And the way we do that is by spending time in the Word, meditating the Word. Joshua 1 and 8, Psalms 1 and verses 1, verse 2, and verse 3. You have to spend time meditating the Word. Very vital, very important, because life situations and life conditions are always going to be shifting. They're always going to be shifting around you in somebody's life, somebody around you connected to, someone going to have issues in their lives. But once you become settled on the precepts of what God said, original intent, its original purpose, it settles the whole issue. It settles the whole issue. It causes you to begin to come to the place where you're now understanding what's the will of God for my life and what you will accept and what you're not going to accept as the will of God in your life. Now you're taking control of your life. Now you're taking control of your destiny. Once you get that in your spirit, once you get that in your heart, in your mind, by spending that time, getting the mind of Christ, getting the mind of God, developing your faith walk with God, this is what's going to cause you to become solid, sound, and unwavering when life issues begin to try to bluff you to move from your stance and shift your life. If you ever learn, if we ever can help this culture that we're in as kingdom, the dominion culture that we're in, we have to think kingdom. We have to think like the king. No matter what other peasants say, you got to think like the king. What did the king say? What is the order of the kingdom? Once you understand that and put your time in to study the word, meditate the word, set the defeat of the apostle, learn what God is saying and how to live in the kingdom, it changes everything about your life. everything about your life, and you're beginning to think, what's major, what's minor, what's important, what's not important to my life. You begin to separate yourself from it. Now you free what is called time. You free your time up. You free your space of your thought life up. You're not caught up in all the wavering activity that goes around in life that people think so vital or so important about life, when they're not. The only thing that's important about life and major about life, not saying you can't enjoy life, but you enjoy life better when you got the wealth to enjoy it. When you got the wealth to enjoy it. Okay, so those are the things God want to put us in position to rule in the midst of our enemy so that we could live the kingdom life. So John 10:10 can become abundant in our life where we have the assignment of God and we can do it at any moment, at a drop of a hat. God say, go here. God say, go there. God say, give this. God say, support that. God say, bless this. We can do it because we're living the kingdom lifestyle. We have the kingdom mindset of what God says. So tonight I'm going to talk to you some things about just dealing with the wealthy, how the wealthy think, because I want you to focus in on not thinking on poverty thinking. We don't already live that life. We want to focus upon living the wealthy life, how we transform our thinking from where we are to where we need to be in order to get the kingdom assignment done, to get the kingdom assignment. It's all about the kingdom and all about the kingdom assignment. Or what God wants us to do. I'm going to focus on one point, then we're going to move to a different part of this same chapter to get some more information. But here's something I want you to focus on page 135 as number one. On page 135, this is number one, the second paragraph. That said, when believers see their destiny in God through a poverty glass view, they live a natural, not a supernatural life, and find themselves trapped in natural problems with no hope of heavenly invasion. I want you to focus in on that. This is why we're going to train ourselves to think wealthy. One of the things that banks does, I don't know if any of you work at the bank, but deal with a lot of money. Bankers train their workers with what is real. They focus on what's real. What's real money, not what's counterfeit. So automatically, when something counterfeit shows up, they got it automatically. Because I'm trained to think on what's real, what's genuine. So we start training ourselves to think on what is the will of God, then anything that's outside the will of God that shows up, automatically the alarm go off. That's not God. Amen. That's not God, because I was trained to think kingdom. That's right. And not poverty thinking. So I want you to put that in your spirit, that when we see life through a poverty mindset or a poverty glass, when we view it that way, we're only looking at to live life natural. No, we're as kingdom believers, we're supposed to live life supernatural. Supernatural, experiencing God's best all the time. Having God's best all the time. This is where we're supposed to abound. This is where we're supposed to live all the time. So, okay, let's move over to page 142. So we're gonna move over some stuff, but go to page 142 to the second paragraph. Thinking about the wealthy, training ourselves to think wealthy. Page 142, middle of the page. This is number two. The wealthy have a driving force. What drives you? What's driving you? That you hate being poor. You hate not being able to do what God tells you to do and live the way God wants you to live. Not to be able to do ministry the way God says you're supposed to do ministry. Treat your family the way God says you're supposed to treat your family. The Bible says that a good man leave an inheritance for his children's children. What's driving you to live and desire to have the wealthy life that God promised you? What's your driving force? He says here the wealthy have a driving force that, again, doesn't make much sense to the other classes. They get out of bed, saying that the wealthy do. They get out of bed in the morning to establish and strengthen their connections with other world changes. That's number two. I want you to put that in your spirit, because of the fact, connection is everything. Who you connected to is everything. It's powerful. It's a magnetic force of who you're connected to. Apostle mentioned some in one of his messages, he mentioned about Abraham and Lot. When God told Abraham to leave, we talked about that part of our teaching as well. When God told Abraham, leave your father's house, leave the country, and go to a land I'm going to show you, and how Lot connected and went with Abraham, and his life started looking just like who he was connected to. So connection is everything. So one of the things that wealthy people understand is how to break the law of the lid. It's called the law of the lid. There's two training that you study about called the law of the lid, and you talk about the what's the other one? The law of the lid. And we did the other one that deals with connection. It'll come to me in a moment. Those two. Law of attraction. Right, exactly. The law of attraction. They both deal with connection. Thank you. The law of attraction and breaking the law of the lid. The lid that says to you, once you have exhausted all of your ability, once you have exhausted all of your ability, all that you know, you can't go no higher than what you know and what you can do yourself. So in order to break the law of the lid is you must connect with somebody else who has gone farther than you, who has achieved more than you. So that person's experience, that person's lifestyle and achievements now is connected to your achievement, which pours you or empowers you because of the connection. You're now empowered with that man's ability, that woman's ability, their knowledge, their wisdom, and their experience. It now takes the lid off of your life and take you to another dimension. So connection becomes everything. The law of attraction said the same thing. It's the idea of when you begin to meditate on a certain level or a certain goal or a certain vision that you have in life, and it becomes your main thought, a major thought in your heart, a major thought in your spirit, when it becomes a major thought, a dominant thought, is the word they use, a dominant thought is major. He said that thought will begin to cause breaking and bring you into the next level of your life, the next level of your life. So the power of connection. Rich people always thinking about who they can connect to empower their environment, to enlarge their environment, or to expand their environment. God is a God of expansion. God is a God of expansion. Even today, scientists are still researching, and the universe is so vast, they say it's still expanding. It's still expanding. So God's knowledge and God's wisdom is so expanding that we can't, there's no searching of it. There's no end of God. And so God wants you and me ever expanding, ever growing. Because that's how we call the succession in. That's why I call generational blessings in, because we're ever expanding. And you want your life to be ever expanding. So number two is that the wealthy have a driving force that, again, doesn't make much sense to the other classes. And that driving thought is they get out of bed in the morning to establish and strengthen their connection with other world changes. World changes. You got to find someone like an Apostle Thompson to connect to, who has experience, who has a record, a proven record already, who has already gone further than we have gone. Connect to that anointing and let that training, that information, that transference to connect with your life to pull you to the next dimension. That's the only way. That's the way it happens. That's where the transfer takes place. And before you realize, you start exemplifying the things that's in his life start showing up in your life. It starts showing up in your life. It doesn't matter what measure, what level you're on. It starts showing up. Because why? You done made a connection. Not a flesh connection, but a spiritual connection. And so sometimes you can sit and get a book, watch things on television, watch tapes and whatever, and make a connection with somebody who's already gone home to be the Lord. But because you meditate on their training and their teachings and their thoughts, that anointing that's on their life, or that grace that's on their life, connects with your life. Before you know it, you start seeing stuff in your life. You start quoting things and seeing things, start changing your life. Why? Because you connected. You made a connection. And so that's what you're looking for. So even if you're in business, you got to find people who have gone further than you and have succeeded further than you. We call it in ministry, run with the runners. You got to find people you can connect with who can run and take you further. Become the new kid on the block. Become the dummy on the block if you have to. I mean, I'm sitting here to learn stuff I don't know. So I can't come in here as like I know everything. No, when you find somebody who's going further than you, you become the bump on the log and you sit there. And you gleam and you learn and you take in until your day come. Your hour come. That's what you had to learn to do. Even when apostle, you have to become, you got to get away from prejudgment, thinking that you know all the time. Oh, I heard that before. No, every time you hear it from apostle, it's fresh. Is more details, more depth than what you thought you heard the first time. That's why I've got to faith come by hearing the word of God over and over and over again. You got to hear it over and over again. Okay, so that's number two. So get that in your spirit. Number three says the wealthy understand, same place, the wealthy understand that there are a few powerful decision makers who make the global economy, social and political climate, what it is. See, there's only a few people that can do this, that can transform your life with their connection. And you got to find those people. You got to find those people and sit at a table and glean. You got to find them. Who can take you? Where do you want to go in ministry? What is your passion? What has God called you to do? Then that's where you got to connect to that person who has this like same precious faith, who an apostle mentioned that when he was heard a Brother Hagin's minister and God told him, say, I've given you the same self-same anointing. But apostle knew then that's what he was supposed to follow. That's what he's supposed to follow and learn from and glean from, like he did with Dr. Fred Price. He got that sight and he gleaned from him. He learned from him. You know, that's, and what it done was, it took apostle from where he was when he wasn't the apostle, he was pastor. It took him from where he was down the street from here and brought him to here, and he prospered. What he did, he done what he saw. He done what he was trained to do. He got out of old traditional thinking and got into the way of noun faith in training and teaching, and he started doing what he saw. That's what you got to do if you're going to transform your level from a poverty mindset or a middle class level and change your financial state and change your family life, is you got to begin to do what you see. You got to begin to practice it right where you are. No, you may not have $1 million right now. You may not even have the $500,000 in the bank right now. But the idea is when you're hearing an apostle saying, I've done this and I've done that and I've done this, well, practice on your level. And let that take you from that level and walk you through process to bring you to the greater levels that God has ordained for your life. And there's nothing wrong with copying the person in front of you. Everybody, for some reason, wants to rewrite the wheel. Why rewrite something that's already been proven? The Bible says anyway, he said, Solomon said, there's nothing new under the sun. So everything that you're trying to do, somebody already done it already. Read their book, set up under them, and do what they did, and you're going to get what they got because you did it that way. It's simple. You shouldn't be struggling with it. I shouldn't be struggling with it if you just do what they do. Okay? So that's what we're going to understand. We're going to connect with people who are more powerful than us, people who have already achieved things that we have not achieved, that we desire to achieve, connect, and let's learn from them and do what they did. They just make this note too in your heart that there are people just like you. There's nothing so special about them that they have what they have. God don't love them no more than he love you. They work the principles. They work the principles, and the principles work. That's all they did. They just work the principles. They obey God and work the principles. That's all you got to do. Time in process, in obedience will bring you to your place you God has ordained for you to be. Don't try to rush it overnight. Go through the process. They'll say either you're going to take the elevator or escalator, or you're going to take the stairs. And you say the best way to go is take the stairs. That way you don't miss a step. That's what you got to learn to do. And when we learn to do that, our outcome and our success is going to be exactly what God says it's going to be. And we learn to practice that way. Okay? So number three is the wealthy understand that there are a few powerful people, decision makers. Got to find your decision maker like Apostle Thompson and connect and watch God change the climate of your life. Number four, it says they are very concerned that they have connections to those decision makers and work to get as close to them as they can get. That's powerful. That says, Apostle Thompson always says, Tess says to us, he says that the way to the king's palace is through the servant's quarter. You have to learn to serve. Doesn't matter what your age is, no matter how long you've been in ministry, or how long you've been trying to become a multimillionaire or whatever in business, you got to try to get close as you can to the decision makers, to those who are making decisions that's changing the climate. And the way you get there is, number one, have the right heart. I'm not here to steal nothing. Okay? I'm here to serve. I'm here to serve. And once you learn to serve with your heart pure, with a pure motive, your gift is going to make room for you. It'll bring you into the presence of great men. And before you know it, you'll have your feet under the table with great men. And then you'll be sitting at the table with world changers, people who change the climate with their influence, with their power, and with their wealth. They change it. They can say things and the world and people will pay attention to it. They'll speak things and people start doing it. Why? The wealth, their influence, and their power. They have it. They have achieved it. They have mastered it. They have gone through process. They have proven themselves to be where they are, that they deserve to be where they are, because that's God's seat for them. And if you just follow their methods and sit around them, it'll bring you there. It will bring you there. And before you know it, you'll sit among great men. Blow your mind. You wonder how I got here, God. What? No, your servant brought you here. Your obedience brought you here. And I made a note in my mind, the ideal, because I am at the table, because I am in the room, I qualify. Never disqualify yourself. The very fact that I'm here means I qualify. Okay, so put that in your spirit. Never belittle yourself because you're among great people. No, greatness is on you. Greatness is in you. Okay, number five. It says the wealthy don't spend their lives working away at a job. That's going to be very important. Wealthy people do not spend all their time working away at a job. Now you got to get job out of your mind. You got to work your way away from a job. I'm not looking for a job. I didn't go to college 5 years just to get out and get a job and sit in somebody's cubicle. No, you got to get away from that. The wealthy people don't think about a job. They think in terms of something else. And that's what we're going to see right here. They are not training their children to get a job. Instead, they send their kids to schools where other powerful world changers send their children. Wealthy people don't think about a job. They think about a business. And that's what you got to think about as a kingdom dominion person to rule in the midst of your enemy, is that you got to start focusing on God. What is that ideal? What is that vision? What is that passion you put inside of me that I could turn into a lucrative business, a business that's going to generate wealth, at least four streams of income into my life? If you study Genesis, you'll find out that the Garden of Eden had at least four major rivers that came through it. And there was sapphire, there was rubies, there was diamonds, and there was gold, and there was silvers that came through those rivers that flowed right through the, through Egypt, to Eden, the Garden of Eden. Meaning God said, I got many ways and many streams to bring wealth to your life. I want you fully supplied. So you understand that you have to begin to create in your creative genius, Deuteronomy 8:17 and verse 18. You got to begin to allow God to cause your business vision to give birth. Apostle been mentioning it lately. He been mentioning build your outer house first or your outer work before you build your own house. Mean develop your business, develop your dream before you start working on your house. And so therefore, we understand that we need to be building our vision. What is my vision? What is my what is what I want to be? What is that I believe God called me to be? What do I want my future to look like? That when I'm 65, that when I'm 70, even when I'm 45 and 35, you know, I'm not working for nobody. I got my own business. I got my own business. I got people working for me that's causing streams of income coming to my life so I can obey God. And that can happen at 30. That can happen at 29 if you tap into what God really wants you to do. Because God wants to free your time. The biggest commodity that you and I got is time. And it's so expensive that we can't waste it with foolishness and people who don't want nothing. Okay? So you got to understand, this is why Jesus says you can't take your pearls and throw it before a swine. Meaning what's valuable to you, you can't waste it with people who don't have no value. So you got to learn to disconnect yourself from people who don't want nothing and run with the runners. And it's going to cause sacrifice. It's going to cause sacrifice. It's going to mean you can't go to the movies all the time like you want to. You can't go to the football games like other folks do want to. You're going to go later, but you ain't going right now. Because I'm in sacrifice mode right now. I'm gleaming mode now. I'm at the place of building a foundation under me that can last me and my children's children. I want so much wealth that they can't even spend it all. They can't even spend it all. You see, that's where you want to get. Why? Because purpose. Because of purpose. What's God's original thought? Abraham, I'm going to bless you so you can be a blessing and that all the families of the earth will be blessed through you. That's what God said. That's his original thought. The reason why I want to be wealth, because I'm Abraham's seed. I'm supposed to be a transfer and a conduit of wealth. So the next generation can be better off than what I am. They can be empowered to do what I'm doing at a higher level without worrying how we're going to get there. How are we going to pay for this? No, it's already paid for. Your future's already paid for. But you got to learn to tap into the flow of it. You got to start thinking wealthy. Start thinking that money has value. And not waste your money on stuff that does not promote your vision or bringing you into the place you want to be. Okay, you got to learn to put money to purpose. Money has to have purpose. If it don't, money will walk away from your life. If you don't put money on purpose, it'll walk away from your life. It has to have purpose. Okay, so that was number five, right? The wealthy don't spend their lives working away at a job. They teach their children and they put their kids in winning positions to run with the runners. Around world changes. Whoever the rich put their children, said that's where we got to put our children. It's competitive. Though in the world system, it's competitive. Not in kingdom. We complete each other in kingdom. But idea, if you're going to deal with the world system of business economics, then you got to realize it's competition out there. But if you don't put your kids in the universities of learning in position to learn these things, then they won't be able to compete with society. So how can you rule in the midst of the enemy when you don't have the power to? And that's why so many kids, even in kingdom, struggle with finance and live in the realm of poverty because their parents did not foresee or prepare for that moment. And that's why they struggle. You know, we're not those who are going to struggle. We're those who thrive. Okay. Let me give you number six and number seven. You probably won't see but five of these anyway, but I'm going to give you number six and number seven. It says here, connections. Connections are the driving force of the wealthy class. They believe that it is not what you know, but who you know and who knows you that makes you successful. Now, what you know is who you know. And we've seen that in our society. We've seen that with people. It's who you know. It's who you're connected to. that causes elevation. We know that it's the Lord favoring us. We know God is behind the scene making those connections and giving us opportunity to make those connections. We know it's God, but we have to seize our moment when God brings us into the presence of great men and great women who he's blessed and they have used their abilities and their talents and their knowledge and their favor that God put on them to cause elevation and promotion. We got to know when we're in their presence how to properly connect. How to properly connect to them so we can go to this place because connection brings forth success. It breeds success. It breeds success when you make proper connection with those who are already successful. And that's what you want them to do. That's why spiritual sons and spiritual daughters have to holistically understand the kingdom plan. We're natural and we're spirit. Okay? And if you just stay on all spirit side, then you're not going to be able to function on natural side. You know, because everything got to be religion. You know, you can't go to a football game without feeling like sin jumping on you or something. It's sinful to go to football. It isn't. It isn't. But the idea is sometimes people get so spiritual that they can't function natural. They can't function that. Yes, our source, God is our source. He is our foundation. We understand that all good and perfect gifts, according to James 1, come from the Lord above, the Father above. We understand that. But because I'm in a natural world dealing with natural fleshly carnal men and dealing with a society that don't even know God, then I need the wisdom of God to operate in the natural side, to be led through the natural side. And this is where God gives us wisdom, knowledge, and understanding to teach us how to function on both sides in our life to bring balance. To bring balance. God is not the God of poverty. He's not the God of lack. He is not the God of sickness and diseases. So therefore, if these things exist in the world that we live in, or around, being the world, not in the world, not of the world, but these things exist around us, then I need to know how to be empowered to live around it without it contaminating my life. If the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just, then I need to know how do I deal with this wicked person. You see, so we understand the principles of the word that we live in a natural society as kings and priests, but we have to deal with people. Because the wealth of the wicked lay for the just, and that's a transfer of the wealth. So God says in Matthew 25, he told his servant, he says, why did you not take my money and give it to the money changers? So I at least might have had interest. That's what the king told the guy. You know, he had these three guys. One he gave five, one he gave three, and the other one he gave two, the other one one. He told him, said to the last one, says, why you dug a hole and put my one in there instead of investing it? The king, the children of darkness is wiser than the children of light. So if you and I are going to rule and reign, then we got to deal with money. We got to deal with money. And we need to know how money works. You know, I mean, speaking in tongues is good. I love it. I'm one. Thank God for the gift of speaking in tongues. But you know what? There's more than one part to a vacuum cleaner. But most people only use one part, and that's the part you push to do the floor. Forget about the spider webs in the corner. We don't use that part. You know, we just use the floor part. You know, so it's more to God than just the vacuum cleaner that's pushing on the floor and speaking in tongues. God is a God of business. He's a God of business. First thing Jesus said at 14, he said, don't you know I got to be about my Father's business? Kingdom is my Father's business. In order for me to rule in the earth and do my Father's business, I got to have wealth. I got to have wealth. So what did Jesus do when he got 30? He found 10, 12 men, all that was wealthy. All of them was businessmen. Doctors, they was lawyers, they was tax collectors, they was entrepreneurs, fishermen. They had business. They had wealth. How you gonna leave your job, your job, and for 3 years, if you didn't have some money? You see, these guys left their business because they had businesses. They had wealth. They had a purse. You know, they had a purse, and they were able to do for 3 years walk with Jesus because they understood wealth. They understood how to make money and how money operated. And Jesus understood the business side of life. And that's something you have to understand, the business side of life. how money works. So when you're studying the Bible, understand the Bible also talk about money.
Yeah, Jesus paid taxes.
Yeah, absolutely. Jesus paid taxes. Okay, so you understand that money is the Bible said money is a defense and wisdom is a defense. So therefore, God don't have a problem with us having money. His idea, he got a problem with money having us. When we allow money to be our source instead of God our source. See, we're to use money, not our money to use us. Money is not designed to make you high-minded. But if you let it rule you, it will make you high-minded when you make it your God. So you have to understand, I have to understand how to move in the realm of dealing with wealth. And I got to have a wealthy mindset. A wealthy mindset. Not taking my kids to the store and say, you can't have this, you can't have that. My mom ain't got the money to pay for that. Daddy ain't got the money to pay for that. When your children start hearing that over and over again, they get a poverty mindset. I can't have. So that's when they're trying to start stealing stuff. Because I don't have the money to pay for it. Or it's for particular people to have this. I can't have this. No, God don't want us walking around like that. God wants you to be able, one of Dad Thompson's great teachers, he taught me and a lot of other people around him. Dad said, when you go to the store and you see something and you don't have the money to get it right then, you talk to it and say, I'll be back. He said, you got to talk to it. Why? You're talking to your mind. You're talking to your conscience. That I can have that. I can afford that. That can be mine. I can go on with me. You see, not saying I can't have it. Now I got a mind. I'm inside of a seat of a blind, a blockage in my mind. Tell me what I can't have. See, so I got to think wealthy. There's nothing I can't have. There's no place I can't go. There's nothing I can't achieve. That's how the wealthy think without limits. They think they have privileges that whatever I want, I can have. That's the way they think. And what they think is apostolic and prophetic. That all things are possible to him that believe. They believe that. They believe that. And you got to believe that. That when you go to a car lot and you go see a mobile home, a motor coach, and when you see a house, a dream car, whatever, you got to say to yourself, that's me right there. I'll be back. That's me right there. You got to go visit neighborhoods where houses cost $1 million or whatever, $500,000 houses. You got to go ride through those neighborhoods and say, man, I like that. Oh, yeah, I like that. Yeah, my house gonna have that. That's the kind of house I want right there. You got to see yourself, position yourself, expose yourself to the environment of what's greater than where you are. You got to see beyond your environment. By visiting other people's environment who's already successful and begin to dream and say, that's it right there. That's what I'm seeing in my spirit. That's what God wants me to have. That's how God wants me to live. And when you do that, before you know it, you develop a taste that says, taste and see that God is good.
Yes, sir.
He said, he'll satisfy my mouth with good things.
Yes, sir.
You see, he will withhold no good thing from me. You got to train yourself to think wealthy. All the time in every situation and become God conscious, wealth conscious around you that there's nothing you can't have that someone has got. No, I can have that. I can live there. I can go there. You see, you got to think that way. That's kingdom dominion. That's kingdom dominion all day, all the time. Surround yourself with it. Apostle mentioned this station called AWE, a world of wealth of entertainment. It's on 387 for those of you who may have DirecTV. But it's on that station. But you got to train yourself to watch it and observe that there are people who are buying $78 million homes. Homes that blow your mind. And surround yourself with a thought and vision of this all the time. That God, you want me to have this? 387. I watch it every day, all day. You know, you got to train yourself to see it, believe it, watch how they dress, watch how they live, watch what they eat, watch what they call their toys and those type of things, and surround yourself with your mind with it. Understand, God, you want me to have this. God, you want me to live like this. If the wicked can live like this and the unbelievers, then how much should the righteous live and rule and reign? Amen? Glory to God. So we're going to reign in 14 minutes. I'm out of here. Okay. 14 seconds. 14 seconds. I'm out. Amen. God bless you. Y'all have a great night.